Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the interesting times where we live, where we know your purpose, where we know how it fits in, where we know where we fit in. And we work together, unified in purpose and in the knowledge of the times in which we live. Together we stand, O Father, for this crescendo of everything that has been planned by you, Father, from the beginning, where it is wrapped up, and the church and your people whom you've called come to you, Father, and dwell with you forever and ever. Now we thank you, Heavenly Father, because you have entrusted us with this moment, with this time, with this commission, and with the knowledge of it, precisely what we are supposed to do and how it fits into everything. Now the puzzle is beginning to be clear to us. And we know each and every one of us where our peace fits and how we depend on other people together as a body to fulfill your purpose. Now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because we have been equipped for this moment and we are ready to take on this purpose. And this kingdom that we represent, your kingdom, we shall stand boldly and declare that it is the one kingdom that shall never come to an end. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody I know met the late apostle. I don't know if somebody was born again, do we call him the late? Huh? Because how can you see you met the late? So, met apostle Deo Balabye Kubo. I'm not saying back then, I'm saying recently. And he asked him that what is the difference between your times when you were there and the time in which we live right now. And the answer was a bit interesting. He told him that in their time, they did things, but they did not understand the whole plot. So in other words, you do a crusade for 6 months as he did. People get healed, people get healed, people get saved, people get delivered, and so many things. But then afterwards, that's it. You don't know what next. You understand? Now he said, for us, we actually see the end result, you see. We have the benefit of seeing the whole purpose. So everything we do is now reaching to a certain specific goal. Now there are generations that were before us that did the will of God, but they didn't have the benefit of understanding that this is how it all fits in. And here is how we all converge up to that day when Christ comes for the church. You understand? Now, when everything that we do for us, if you are in the spirit, you are supposed to know that what thing I'm doing here, how does it end? How does it fit into the grand picture, the overall picture? Now, for them, they never had the benefit of knowing the overall picture. So you preach to people, they get born again. You do crusades, people get healed of HIV and so on. Yeah, then that's it. Then you die and then go for your reward. Now, for us, we are seeing how it's all ending. We are seeing the picture. It's like God had a picture that he's drawing. Have you ever seen like somebody on a canvas, an artist? Then he comes and he starts drawing, you know? You don't know what he's drawing. So he draws a line here, draws what, then spills paint on it, then pours what, then gets a brush and does what? And you're seeing you're seeing paint, you're seeing things, but you don't know what's happening. Then somebody comes later when finally he can see the whole picture and say, now this is what this man has been drawing all along. Now we are those people who can see that picture, and because it's forming right now very fast until the time when it is complete. Okay, when it can be, you know, when the picture of the bride of Christ and her adornment can be presented to the groom. Praise the Lord. Now that's a very wonderful time for us to be in. Amen. And it is a very purposeful time for us to be in. And you know, there are a number of things which happen, which people never realize and they never take notice of. And they pass, even people get excited about them. And then they never stop to think. At the time I was getting excited, what was it about? What came out of it? I'll give you an example. There was the talk of the whole four blood moons. You heard it. So everybody, blood moons, people write books, blood moons, something's about change, what? Now if you ask them what changed, very few people will know what changed. But the truth is, so many things changed, but they are not always very spectacular things at the time they change. They only become spectacular later with the benefit of hindsight. I'll give you an example. The people who lived at the time of the first coming of the Lord, imagine they tell them, you know, there was this star, the star when it appeared and what? Then there's something powerful happening, but people are in Jerusalem drinking their cappuccinos. They don't understand. They are in Bethlehem doing their things. They don't understand what's happening. It's only later that they realize that something big happened at that time. Now, for us, we cannot afford to wait later because there is no later. You understand? But while people were going about the things, a few people said, we saw a star here. What does this star mean? So they go. And the star is just a baby. An ordinary baby born to ordinary parents, as it was, you understand? There's nothing special about him at his birth. Now, it's only later that people look back and say, oh, actually something powerful happened at that time. Now, the four blood moons, things happen and happen and happen, and people don't see what's happening. A few people see, just like it was in the days of the first coming. You see? Somehow, there are people who understood what was going on. Some from the spirit. Like you remember the old man, Simeon, who had been told that he's not going to die until he sees the Messiah. Now for him, because of his prophetic abilities, he knew. And so, on the day, 8 years after Jesus' birth, that he was taken for the circumcision and all that and whatever, this guy is led by the Spirit there. Then there's another woman who was also praying. Then there are people who are from the, who are watching the stars, who also saw. And then there are shepherds who are watching their sheep by night. That has something. Those ones, the angels came and started singing for them. Now, imagine there are shepherds, a few of them, they see angels singing, but they are watching over their sheep by night. And now, they are watching over their sheep because those were special sheep which were used for sacrifice. Now, the sheep they are watching over were not the usual sheep. They were sheep which were going to be used for Passover sacrifices. So, they are the ones watching. Then they tell them, no, now your sheep is no longer important. It was important at that time. But a few years from then, it wasn't. But, okay, my point is, so there is four blood moons. The first one, I think, was 2017, September 23rd, 2017. Let's just read Daniel chapter 9, start from verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Now you can make so many things out of that. I don't know how many, but I can tell you this. Of course, for the most part, everybody agrees 70 weeks is 70 weeks of years. So it's talking about 490 years. So it's called the 70 weeks of Daniel, talking about 490 years, which is supposed to start from the time that the commandment is given to rebuild Jerusalem. That's when the weeks are supposed to start. And it says after 69 weeks, 483, the Messiah will be cut off. But then also, 70 weeks. 70 weeks, if you don't put the years in Bible interpretation, actually 490 years. Or rather 490 days. Eh? 490 days. Just 490 days. So I found it interesting that the first of the four blood moon was September 23rd, 2017. Now, if you add 490 days, you actually come to January 21st, 2019. And guess what? Another blood moon. Now, what do all these blood moons mean? What are they signifying? You see, the thing is, the sequence is happening and things happen beneath, which we don't necessarily understand what's happening. So, then it comes then, by coincidence, it comes right down to another blood moon, which is in a few days from now. So I was thinking, what could 490 days? I don't mean the 70 weeks don't mean years. Eh? But you see, but scripture has so many layers of meaning. Everything spiritual and numbers. The spirit world is full of numbers and shapes. So you realize that you can build, for instance, in the demonic world, they know how to build a building in a certain shape. And it becomes a habitation of the demonic. And that's what they want. And things are given now. When Moses goes to God and he tells him, make sure you build the tabernacle in the exact shape I showed you, you saw in heaven, with the exact measurements. And then they measure. Now, if you read Ezekiel from chapter about 42 to 40, 42 and 43, it's all full of, I measured how many cubits, then how many cubits. Now, to the unschooled, that is a real waste of time in the Bible. It could have been edited better. But you see, in the spirit realm, all those, even in the Revelation, when he's talking about measuring the city, all the measurements are very precise now, and the architecture. So, actually, you see that the rising of Egypt, Egypt rising, which is happening in all the demonic world right now, things which you can see through movies of, you know, Egypt, the gods of Egypt, and what, you know, the people who get those movies and the whole Marvel studios, are people from the underworld. So they act things which are actually there. But they look like they are just mythology or some legends and so on. But they are actual things. Now, the other day, somebody took me to watch a movie and I was watching Aquaman. How many have watched the movie Aquaman? Now they are talking about the seven worlds under the sea and the seven different worlds under the sea, which are supposed to come to the earth and they unite the underworld with the above world. Now you hear people say they went underwater and you say, you think it's a figure of speech, but they actually go underwater completely, and they are there, and it is a whole city of the devil, and things happen there, and the purpose of that is to bring them up to the earth. Now when they come and they go to that place and they get a movie where one man is uniting all the underworld and bringing them up here, you know who that man is. Who is the prince of that world, who they want to come, and whom they are going to make the prince of this world. And you see the two worlds being united. So it's not just movies. You see now the time of entertainment, I think it's only in church where people do entertainment. But out there is no entertainment. It is all for a purpose. It's all pointing towards something which they believe in and which they are trying to make to come to pass. So the underworld people are, you know, so they come up, and that person, of course, who unite them, who is, it reminds me of one story of some guy who said, a driver who was driving some man who is a top politician, not even in this country. Now, he said, he told him, take me to a certain place, and there was a lake there. And the man, now you see, it sounds like real, for if you're a very educated person, you might not understand these things. Eh? They're only for illiterates like us. Eh? Now, the guy said, got out of the car dressed in a suit and a tie and very smart, and said, wait for me here, I'll come back. Then he walked right into the water and vanished inside the water when this guy was seeing. And it was early morning, 6 a.m. And the guy waited the whole day. And at exactly 6 p.m. on the dot, the guy emerged from the water dry his suit intact, his shoes intact, and everything. And he comes out and enters the car and says, we go. Now you say, how is that possible and what? Man, how is it possible that people actually go underwater? Do you think it's a figure of speech? You think they don't actually go there? They do. They do. And at one stage from here to entering the water, everything becomes spirit. So he actually goes and is inside there for 12 hours. Then when he emerges, he comes and he becomes, you know, again. So you say, how is that possible? How is it possible that somebody can be here? And like the other guy I told you last week, who is here and then he goes to the beach, then comes back. How is that possible? Now, the world that we are living in all these things, and the whole coming together of the kingdom of God and his forces and his people who are us, and the kingdom of the enemy and their person, it is all converging very, very fast. And these blood moons are actually saying something which we do not know yet, okay? But which we are going to continue, I don't know. These whole blood moons. Then I realize that the order in which certain things happened, for instance, you people didn't realize that December 10th last year, 2018, the people in Jerusalem rebuilt the altar and started doing sacrifices. They rebuilt the altar and started doing sacrifices, 2018. And then it happens to be 7 years, 2018, 7 years from the formation of the state of Israel. Now, when you read Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11, it talks about the 7 years. Okay? And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 7 years. Okay? Now, so the 7-year prophecy of Daniel of the exile. Now, the exile of Israel into Babylon was a very key event in Bible history. That's why even when they are talking about the genealogy of Jesus, they say it was 14 generations to what? Then another 14 generations to about the time they went to exile. Okay? Then afterwards, 14 generations to the Messiah. Now, they always refer to the time of the going to exile, which is very important at that time. Now, you see, 7 years, then in 2018, something happens. There is a decree. Now, after the 7 years, let's read Ezra chapter. Now, we know that the temple was built by Zerubbabel and Ezra. Ezra actually was the scribe who was, he did more of bringing back the worship. The temple was built by Zerubbabel. The walls were built by Nehemiah. That's after the 7 years in exile. But there's something I want to show you here, which is, I found interesting, from the book of Ezra. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord might, by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Go ahead. Who is among you of all his people? It says, who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of this place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers of houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, with all their spirits, all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Now, here is the thing. Cyrus calls himself the king of all the earth. He was just the emperor of the Medo-Persian Empire. But he calls himself the king of the earth because it was the most prominent empire at the time. So he makes a decree that makes Jerusalem, basically gives Jerusalem back to the Jews. Now, last year, where Donald Trump, who is the head of the biggest empire in the world, who they call the so-called head of the free world, they used to say that to Obama, now they don't want to say it because they don't approve of him. But he still is the head of the biggest economy, the biggest army, the biggest everything, you understand? When he said that the Americans are moving the embassy to Jerusalem, The Jews actually did a coin with him and Cyrus, because Cyrus was a Gentile emperor who was so respected by them because God used him to restore the nation of Israel. And he gave them a lot of favor to make sure that they build the temple. Now, so they compared him to, they compared Donald Trump to Ezra. Now, the funny thing I found funny is all these numbers. Do you know 1948, May 14th, 70 years ago to the time when America recognized, under Donald Trump, recognized Jerusalem. But then I found that Donald Trump was actually born exactly 700 days before Israel was born, to the dot. Now, so many people are saying we recognize Jerusalem, but somehow it didn't happen. Then he comes and it happens. Then, I also found, interestingly, that on the day he was born, there was a blood moon. Then now he comes, you see, then now he comes and he says, okay, we are recognized. Now, that's, now the Jews themselves, it's not me, say that this is Cyrus. Because he's, you know, done what other people had failed to do and said, officially, we are giving Jerusalem back to, you know, to the Jews. So they do it. Now, all these blood moon things. The time of his inauguration. Then he was inaugurated January 20th, 2017. He was exactly 70 years, 7 months and 7 days old on the day he was inaugurated as president. Okay, you can say coincidence and all that. But then also, around that time, there are blood moons. Then, at the exact midway point of his presidency on January 20th, another blood moon. Anyhow, you check when the next blood moon will be after the one which is coming now. And you'll see. So, how come there are all these things? And then the Jews themselves say he's Cyrus. But then, there are other things that interested me. Number one is the fact that before they built the temple, they built the altar. And then it says in Ezra chapter 3, verse 1. And when the seventh month, somebody say seventh month. Now, the order to restore Jerusalem is given, and then 7 months later, the altar is erected. 7 months after the order is given by Cyrus. Now, December is 7 months after May when they recognized. You understand? Eh? Last year, all of it that year. And the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Then Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, arose and built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set an altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both morning and evening offerings. Now, this happened last year on December 10th. These people, amidst a lot of anger from the people around them, like it was that time, who are saying they are trying to rebuild. You know the controversy surrounding the temple. These people put up the altar first. There is no temple, but the altar. Now, you see everything in the Bible mirrors the other. Now, these people built the temple, or the altar, and then afterwards they started building the temple. Now, they have already built the altar. Now, I can almost guarantee in 2019 there is going to be... You remember what prophet said about a lot of Kavuyo in Jerusalem, eh? It's going to be over the building of the temple. But they are still going to build it. Because the Bible says it will be built in troublesome times. But it will be built. And now, I through my calculations, eh? Not through prophetic whatever, eh? I can tell you. Now it is going to be built. They are going to start agitating for it around mid-year. And then, why do I think around mid-year? Because I calculated the time from when these people built the altar and when they started building the temple. And I realize if I calculate from December and use the same time period, it comes to around September, July, August, September this year. So whether it happens or not, me, I'm just calculating. So, and you don't have to believe me. But if you don't believe me, you have to come up with a better theory. Or if you can't come up with a theory, come with a prophecy, like the prophet. Okay, though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifice. Now go ahead. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by the ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offerings and those for the new moons and for the appointed feast of the Lord consecrated, and those... Everyone willingly offered a free will offering to the Lord. Go ahead. There's a verse I'm trying to get at. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. Although the foundation Now listen, although the foundation of the temple had not been built. So now that's what is happening now. They are offering sacrifices, but the foundation of the temple, which is going to be built in Jerusalem, has not been built. Okay. They also gave money to the masons and the carpenters and food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of the brethren and priests and the Levites and all who had come out of captivity to Jerusalem began work and appointed Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of God. From here there is the seventh month, then here of the first year. Then here there is the second month of the second year. So how many months are in there? Around seven months. So I calculated 7 months from December 10th. Whether it happens or not, there's something I'm trying to do here. There is a pattern that was in the Old Testament that is happening right now. The fact that they built it without, there have been a number of things now they are talking about the building, rebuilding the temple, which of course is very important because we know that the Antichrist is going to come and stand in that temple. So the temple is going to be, but after 3.5 years of, so the temple is going to be built very soon, probably even this year. Now, when they're talking about the trouble in Jerusalem and Turkey having issues and what, I was thinking maybe also this year is when the river Euphrates war takes place, because I know Turkey is going to be involved. And there's already an agitation right now between America and Turkey and a separation after America decided to withdraw their troops from Syria. Now, when they did that, there are people who Turkey says are terrorists and they want to fight them, but they are the same people who America has been using to fight ISIS because they didn't want direct combat. So what they did, they got people from there and gave them ammunition to fight ISIS. So they were their proxy fighting ISIS. Only Turkey does not want them. Now when America said they are getting out of Syria, now this guy said, how does that leave us? Because you are the ones who are protecting us. And we could not be attacked because somehow the Americans were protecting them. So what they did, they ran to the Syrian government and to Russia. Now, what Trump did is he tried to send his Secretary of State to negotiate with Turkey that leave them alone, do not attack them. But Turkey is saying, for us, we think they are terrorists. Now, there is a departure. But somewhere along the way, that departure is going to lead into this war, which the Bible says is going to kill a third of mankind. And yet it is going to be a very brief war. It says, evening time, there is trouble. In the morning, it is seized. Very brief war. Now, praise the Lord. So, if that be the case, and now we are going to see the rebuilding of the temple, and we are seeing some of the headlines I was seeing here. Lydia, show us some of those things we are seeing. Show us some of. Now, you see this is the high priest's garment. And you can get it from the Bible. And the different stones, that very rare stones that have to be, the 12 stones that have to be in the high priest's garment. Now, the interesting thing, and in the Bible it says, they have to get those stones from within Israel. They cannot import them. So, when to create the proper prescribed high priest's garment, they had to discover certain rare stones in Israel. Go ahead. Unique precious stones discovered in Carmel, paving way for the third temple. Why is that? Because there is no third temple until there is a high priest. There is no high priest until there is a garment of a high priest. And the garment of the high priest requires these unique stones to be found. Now, all of them, everything of these things seems to be converging at this time. Go to the next time, whatever. This is Jerusalem first. Temple ready, altar. This is the altar which I was talking about, December 10th. Dedicated on last day of Hanukkah. Now, not by everybody, they say by activist groups. There are some people, there are some Jews who are not religious, but there are those who are the real Orthodox Jews who are trying to follow everything the way it was in the Torah. Now, temporary altar dedicated on the last day. They invited 70 nations to come to the dedication of the altar. 70 nations, which are perceived, I think, to be friendly to Israel. I think the lead nation was actually Guatemala, which is very, very friendly, and one of the nations which also shifted their capital to Jerusalem after America did so. So, and now the stone, according to Deuteronomy 27 verse 5, what does it say? There you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron or a tool on it. Now, the way they require that it is built, you have to just panga stones. You can't put cement or what, or you cannot even use, you know, what do they call that? A shovel. Eh? So you cannot use that thing to put. So what they do, they just get stones of it. And they, even the stones cannot be cut. You understand? So it, according to the law of Moses, he forbids them cutting the stones to shape. And he forbids them using any mortar or any of that instrument which they use. So you just have to look for stones of a certain shape and panga them one on the other like that and make an altar. There is a reason behind that, of course, and has something to do with Christ, of why they don't want any of that. Now, so they've done that. They've built an altar without any shaping of stones or cutting or doing what, just get a stone as it is, then get those which fit together and build the altar. Okay, let's go back to the pictures briefly. Okay. This one, Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah is called the Feast of Dedication. Okay? It's the Feast of Dedication. Now, something happens according to... The thing is, in the Old Testament, it was only celebrated by the Jews in the time which is not recorded in the Bible. The time of the Maccabees between Malachi and Matthew. Those 400 years, that's the only time the Hanukkah thing is mentioned. But, incredibly, in the book of Jesus, it had some, I'm not so sure he celebrated it, but they mention it in his life. Okay, first show us the last picture. There's another one. You see this, harbinger to the Messiah, red heifer is born. You know about the red heifer? Eh? Yes. Now you see there's red heifer, rare stones, then what else did you say? Well, other things. Eh? Eh? The altar, all leading up to one thing, the rebuilding of the temple. And in the same exact sequence that it happened in the days of Ezra, after 70 years of exile. Now, there after 70 years of Israel as a nation, the altar is rebuilt in the seventh month, after 70 years. Then the altar is rebuilt and the sacrifices are put in. Then after the sacrifices, then comes the temple. Now, when the temple comes, then you really know that we are in the last of the last days. Okay, let's go ahead. It's John chapter 10, actually, verse 22. Now, the thing which amused me is, at the Last Supper, when Jesus gives Judas Iscariot the bread, then the Bible says Satan entered him. Now, that's interesting. Why would Satan enter him after he had received bread from Jesus? So, Jesus gives him bread and Satan enters him. Okay, now that one confused me. Now, now it was the Feast of Dedication. Now, the Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. Okay? And you see, this is what, all these things in the life of Jesus, nothing. And it was winter. Now, it is all for a purpose. Winter, the Feast of Hanukkah. Because all the Jewish feasts are either in spring or in autumn. There's just one which is in the middle. There's not one which is in winter. Now it says it was the Feast of Dedication, which means there was a Jewish feast at that time, and Jesus was there, and the Bible mentions it, and it was in winter. Perhaps the only, now winter almost as if signifying time of trial. Okay, let's go ahead. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, when the sacrifices were instituted on Hanukkah, that Jewish feast, something happened. The high priest declared that now the Messiah is coming. But then, what they call the Messiah is actually the anti-Messiah, whom the Bible says they will believe for a while until he does something they don't understand. That's the abomination of desolation. So now they are prepared for him after that sacrifice of the Hanukkah, after this thing. Now here, when Christ came on the day of Hanukkah, the same day. Now do you know That altar was built at the end of the Feast of Hanukkah. It's a number of days, but at the end of it. Now, here comes at the end of Hanukkah, and now the Jews ask him plainly, tell us, are you the one or you're not the one? Tell us, we want to know. You understand? Now, that means there is a time for, you know, a time of decision coming. But there are also certain other things which people have to understand, which are coming. Where the Jews, it is going to be, is he the Messiah or is he not? There's going to be some who will come and believe Jesus is. And then there's going to be others. You know, here Jesus didn't answer them. He confused them. He didn't tell them. Go ahead and see. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Of what? Are you the Messiah? But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. You see, he refused to tell them plainly because they want to be fed. You understand? Now, and there are people who are like that who want to, now I see this, I see that, I dream this, I dream that. What do you say? I say, can't you say, tell me, is yes or no? Who says that's how they do? Spiritual things are not like that. We have to let you make the decision. So Jesus somehow goes round and round and round and ends up not telling them. Because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And what? Then eventually they end up saying, this man has a demon. They said, didn't we tell you this man is a Samaritan and he has a demon? Now, so if you are to, now, why do you tell somebody something he's not, you know he's not going to believe? Do you understand? Like that is childishness. Now, you can be, that's where people start. You see somebody making a mistake and you jump up and tell them, no, don't, they are not going to believe you. And even when they find out later that you were right, they will still not come and acknowledge because their ego will tell them, how do you admit that you were wrong? So the best thing to do, don't tell them anything. So when they ask you, my sheep hear my voice, and what? And confuse them and just go ahead and move on. Now, but the time comes on Hanukkah when they have to decide, the Jews have to decide, is he or is he not? Okay? Now, there's also this seventh-year thing. We know that we follow the generations of when God told Adam, you shall not live. The day you sin, you will surely die. The day. Now, all of those people died within their 1,000 years. And we know that the Bible says 1,000 years are like one day to the Lord. It says that in, I think, 2 Peter. But also says it in Psalms 90, which I found very interesting. It says that in Psalms 90, because Psalms 90 also says other things. Then we see that he moved from, you cannot exceed 1,000 years. Then at the time of the flood, he said now it's 120 years. Then later on, he reduced it. In the time of Abraham, to 100. It wasn't direct. Then after that, to 70, when David said that for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past, and like a watch in the night. But then he also says, I think in verse 11, the days of a man, verse 10, for the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 8 years. Yet their boast is only labor. For it is soon cut off. And we do what? We do what? Does that mean to die? Maybe. But maybe it actually means to fly. Let's read again. For the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 70 years, if by reason of strength, 80. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, if by reason of strength. Now you might be thinking that that means you live 70 years, but if you go to the gym a lot and do what and eat vegetables, you live 80 years, but still you will not fly away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now 1948, 70 years, 2018. Praise the Lord. 70 years, the days of our lives. But if by reason of strength, 80 years. So, and after the 10 years, we what? We do what? Fly away. So, are you getting where I'm going? So, and the 10 years are by reason of what? Not of weakness. And the strength does not mean going to the gym. Okay. Glory to God. Of course, the other one can also be true. But you see, there are so many layers of truth in the Bible. You can. Now, 2018, the real strength of the church began. And it might just be that 10 years of total strength in the church. Then what? Might just be. Like I told you, these are theories. If you have something better, come and tell it to us. But you see, there is by reason of strength. Now you see all the words that the Lord has given to his servants this year. There is nobody who is talking of trial. There is nobody who is talking of tribulation. Everybody is talking of strength, of harvest, of what? Then the year is starting with what? With the blood moon. Let's read the verse here and we understand what's happening. If by reason of strength, 8 years. So is he talking about the person or is he talking about the church? Or both? Doesn't matter. There's a scripture I want to read for you here. It's in the book of Joel. And you will see what is going to happen. Now, remember I told you this year is from what some of the prophecies that were given by prophet, I was seeing that war possibly this year. What's that war? The war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is called the Gog and Magog War, but also which is called the River Euphrates War. And I've told you which the Bible says is going to kill a third of mankind. Now, if that be the case, that is the war where the Bible says in Zechariah 14:2 that I'll put a hook on all nations and gather them in Jerusalem. Okay, it will also happen at the Battle of Armageddon, but here also, it shall come to pass that they will say a city of unwalled city, people dwelling in peace, that they will come up against them. I told you that war, I am definitely sure, involves Turkey, and it is also going to involve Russia. That I am sure of. Now, the others are debatable. But then also, the debate is very limited, because I think most prophets, teachers agree on that. But it says in Joel chapter 3 and verse 12, let the nations be weakened, okay, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Now, this is not talking about the Battle of Armageddon, because the Battle of Armageddon is not all surrounding nations, not the nations surrounding Israel. The Battle of Armageddon is all the nations of the world. That one is going to be the United Nations. This one is the nations surrounding. You understand? Now, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Go ahead. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Who else said the harvest is ripe? Praise the Lord. You see, everything that is spoken of the Spirit can be traced somewhere in the Bible. Do you understand? Like you cannot speak of the Spirit from the Spirit of God and there is no similarity or connection to the Bible. Now, on this year when we are talking about this great war, then the prophet comes and says the harvest is what? Great. But is that harvest for the world or for the church? For the church. For the world, it is tribulation. Remember, I came and told you here that the word that I heard from there is strong delusion for them. Now, for us, you remember what I told you last week, okay? Prepare our hearts to rest. Labor to enter is what? Rest. Now, all these things are connected. I did not know what he told me separately. He told the prophet separately. Now, he told the prophet Joel separately. Praise the Lord. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Because you see, it has to go at the same time. When we are coming together here as a kingdom, their wickedness is great. Now, you have to know. Now, how many of you have been seeing how? And now, you see, these are some of the things we have to learn from those people. Now, they have started promoting. I think they feel they have reached they have successfully put, homosexuality. Now, there's no longer any need to promote it. It's already up there. Now, they are promoting pedophilia. Even if she's 8 years, as long as she consents. Now, they start as if they are fighting it. You see, now, the people of the world are so clever. They will never come and start promoting something until they first fight it. Because when you fight something, our minds are created in a way that there will never be consensus about something. Even if you get the most wicked thing or the most generally disagreeable thing and you start attacking it, there will be some people who will take the other side. Either out of sympathy or wanting to be different. Do you understand? So when they are promoting, they start by fighting. Then, but it's all planned. Now, across the media in the world, the movies, the world, they started by doing a documentary on R. Kelly. And he has been known to be a pedophile all his life. There is nothing new about that. That's how he is. But suddenly now, there's a documentary and they are putting him up there and what. And every time there is a movement being pushed, there are sacrificial lambs. Bill Cosby. People had known from long time ago that the man would drug women and molest them. But when the Me Too movement looks around for which sacrificial lamb, this man was once a comedian, but he's old and he's tired anyway. He can no longer make us any money. So now they go for him. But have they just known about that? He has been doing it for years. From the 70s. So, what am I saying? Now they have gone for R. Kelly. They have brought out tapes of his what and you know. And man, they make him look so bad. But they're not fighting his vice. They are promoting it. They will start by making him look bad. Then there will be an opposition. You can never have a government where everybody is in consensus. That's why you hear somebody like Rwanda Simanyi 99% voted for Kagame. You know that's fake. It can never happen in any serious democracy that 99.8% voted for somebody. There is no way that can happen. There will always be people who don't like you. Can you imagine? Even God did not get a third of the angels went. So you only got 67% in the vote. But there are some people who think they can get 99%. A third of the angels who are in glory now, they left and went. And went with So there will always be what? Opposition now. So when you learn that, you stop thinking that because your motives are right, people are supposed to fall in line with you. They will not. But that does not stop you. You go ahead. If you have the conviction. So now you see, you wait now. But what we have to learn from them, and you know me, I'm a good learner, is, you know, the Bible says, be wise as what? Can you imagine Jesus saying that to be like serpents? Wise as serpents. Because what they do is it's not an isolated thing. They will go and create, they move in the underground. Then you know that when the documentary comes, then there will be an opinion here. Then somehow they gather everybody, and the next thing everybody is talking about that. And you've entered their trap. You see, when they are promoting something, I remember a time when they were promoting that John Lennon thing of that song of his, that guy who, whatever, the song where he says, Imagine. The song was called Imagine. Here, they launched it, UNICEF. Then suddenly, DSTV was showing the movie, Imagine, which was acted a long time ago, the movie about John Lennon, even DSTV. Then everywhere you turn, they are promoting the same thing, and somehow it surrounds you. And you now when you get into a discussion, you're finished. It's nothing to discuss about. We know that it is wrong. It's wrong. Don't discuss. Even your position plays into their what? Into their game. Actually, that's what they want. You to come up and say, no, what? Age of consent, what? How can you? What? And they say, continue. Now, what you're doing is you're making it familiar in people's minds. You know that, But what the idea, because if you're fighting a battle, you have to make sure that you determine the agenda. He who controls the narrative controls the people. So there is a guy here who is very good at controlling narratives. When he sees everybody is, you know, getting angry with him, he will go at the roadside and make a phone call. And suddenly everybody on social media is talking about a phone call. Can you imagine? He just messes people's minds up. He does something. Then all of you are talking about it. Then he says, okay, now continue talking about that. Then he goes ahead with his stuff. Now, what I say, for their wickedness is great. Now, the wickedness is getting greater and greater. Imagine a scenario where people are saying, remove any age of consent. And then they will add debate about it, debate, no, what? Then they will, next thing you hear on TV, no. I think what? Then they'll say, no, what? You see, there are certain scenarios where people mature very fast. Now they are getting into people's minds. The next thing you know, chewed. So, now those are the things we have to learn from them. That's how they are wise as what? Even this thing of going underground. Now, like even here, there are so many people who are underground who are here trying to see how to mess up what? This thing. They use words, what they put words here and what, and they somehow they even recruit people who are, don't know the motives of those people who are underground. And it is so easy. You just plant words here, plant words there, what, you know, targeting a few key people. Bam, 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 bam. And it works. Now, for if we sent you to go in a company underground, within 1 week, they will know who you serve. Because you don't know how to be wise as serpents. But those guys, they will come among you. Praise the Lord. There's one whom I know is totally not whatever. But they are the ones who post the most. Oh, man, did you hear what the man of God said? Man, the harvest is truly great. Over what? And you taught complete spies. But you see, that now we have to also learn how to be wise as what? As happened. So you go enter them also. You don't fight from outside. You go inside and then start messing them up. And you never lose sight of who you're serving. Because some of those people never lose sight of what? This. They even go to churches and come out on top. The next thing you know, the pastor has started a blasting prosperity gospel. Over what? Over those things. Blah, blah, blah. I wish you knew, eh? Like, those things. Then over mega church pastor. Then over what? Does what? Abuses. They messed him up. When you see the person who is next to him, the person has been there 10 years, and they are the biggest tither or whatever, giver. But they came there to mess people up. Then also they come with fake testimonies, fake dreams. They get things which mean a lot to you, and they make them fake. So they even give them money to come and give, just to get ahead. So somebody stands and says, I'm giving 15 million. I'm giving 30 million, 100 million. And even fake testimonies. Somebody says, you know, I sold this and I got 50 million. Now, if you got 50 million, first give us a tithe at least. Because the people who give them the money tell them to bring it back. So he can even show you his bank account that it was created with 50 million. Give him 2 or 3 weeks, you see if it is still there. It's not there. They say, if you come and tell me I gave him, I say, first bring 20 here before we talk. Then the guy says, hi, you know, I said, go, your testimony is fake. Because you see, they get important things and they try to, and this is happening in our, you know. So somebody comes and says, well, I was given how many, what will, so, where is the seed? Bring a seed. They cannot even give a tithe. Do you know why? And even when you tell them bring a tithe, it's not that you want it because you've been surviving without their tithe. But it is that you're saying this person, if he brings it, then you know it's genuine. If he does not bring it, or at least does not show he has taken it somewhere else, show me where you've taken it. And I say, okay, if you've given there, then now we know it's true. But they are fake dreams. Somebody comes and says, I dreamt about you. Now in the dream, and you can see they are thinking as they go along. In the dream, we are moving over in a certain what? Then what they came for... Then by the time they are halfway, you know the dream is fake. But you continue listening. Continue, then what happened? Then you say, man, that's a powerful dream. Go and pray about it. Let the Lord what? Now previously, by the time I reach halfway and I know it's fake, I will tell you get out of my office. But now I learned a bit of what? Patience. So I'll listen to it, pretending to even be following. Then what? Then you did what? Wow. Then also Prophet Elvis came from here. Then he also came from here. They know how to place names so that they mess you up. Because they know there are certain names they use and your mind what? Opens up. So then we're passing here. Then what? Then you say, Then what? Powerful. Powerful. They say, go and pray about it. I suspect it is saying. Then they go and then you know. For their wickedness is what? Is great. Okay. Multitudes. In the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of what? How do you know the day of the Lord is near? Okay. In the valley of decision. Go ahead. The sun and the moon will grow dark. And the stars will diminish their brightness. Praise the Lord. Now, the blood moon. Okay. The blood moon comes. 70 years. The harvest is great. You've seen that. Isn't it clear there? Now, and this is the times we're talking about. It says elsewhere in Joel that the sun and the moon will grow dark before the great day of the Lord. So all these are signs. And it's not just signs for the purpose of knowing the return of the Lord is near. It is signs for us to know where we stand in all this equation. Okay, go ahead and receive. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people. And the strength, of what? Of the children of Israel. In other words, the 10 years of strength before you. So also as man, let's first enjoy the kingdom of God economy. Then after as we what? So now these things, praise the Lord. Have you seen what I'm trying to say today? So now, do you have any reason to believe anything that has been spoken first by prophet about the harvest? I've shown it to you from the Bible. And I've also shown you things which are happening, which I said there. I'm showing them to you for the Bible. The time is now, okay? To show you that there is the prophetic, then there is the Bible prophecy, okay? Where I'm the expert, praise the Lord. Now the prophetic has an expert who has already spoken to us. Now there is the Bible prophecy. So these two things are linking. Great things are ahead. While the transgressors are coming to the full and their judgment is being prepared, here, everything about the kingdom of God comes and hits a crescendo, and 10 years of strength, if by reason of what? Maybe. But I know strength. And the strength of the children of Israel. And the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. Remember when I told you about the heavens and the earth shaking? Yes. That was towards the final months of last year. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Of course, children of Israel that time, but the strength of his children right now. Praise the Lord. So you enter a time where the Lord is your strength and you are in a time of rest. And it is all coming together. Remember what I told you about what that apostle said, Bala Yekubo, that for you, you know the whole plot. You're seeing the whole thing coming to an end. For us, we'll just do powerful things and they are scattered. You see, So there is a piece of a jig, so it's there, what? But slowly it starts gathering together. And finally, you can start seeing the picture. So in as much as they did powerful things, they didn't have the benefit of knowing how it all comes together. Now, today, you have gotten more knowledge on how it comes together, praise the Lord, and where you stand in it. So, who is your strength? Who is your strength? If you try to be your strength, you're offside. In this year, if you try to be your own strength, you're offside. Praise the Lord. This Joseph generation, This Joseph generation, let me read one more scripture and end. From Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. Praise the Lord. Branches run over what? Over the wall. Spread. The influence goes beyond the church. It goes out there. You see, the reason people are angry right now and they want to put laws is because they are not yet ready to see a rich pastor. They are not yet ready to do what? A rich pastor. They still want their pastors poor and needy. But you see, if your pastor is poor and needy, you are not going to be rich yourself. Like, that is the spirit of the devil, which wants to put down the men of God. Now, by the people don't understand how much the devil hates it when... Now, Kenneth Agin was saying that one day he was... he had invited a preacher when he was pastoring a church. Then the Lord told him that you give him this amount of money. Then the devil said, no, don't give him that amount of money. Then he said that then he spoke to the devil and told him, if you bring any more, if you speak anything else, I'm going to double the amount of money I'm going to give him. And the devil shut up, because he does not want a man of God to get money. Like, if he can keep men of God poor, he will control this world. Do you understand? Because there is no influence. He can keep men of God poor, then he will keep the men who are under those men of God poor, then all the wealth will belong to what? To his crowd. You understand? Like, and people don't understand this, that there are certain things. Now I'm feeling the presence of God. I don't know if it's because I've talked about you know, about that. When you are under a certain grace, there are things which happen to you automatically. Do you understand? Automatically. Now, towards the end of last year, one day, I knew I had to shift from where I was, but I was taking my time. Until one day, I had this dream where I had to leave that very day. You know those dreams where you wake up in the morning, and I had to leave that. Like, I did not have to spend an extra day in the house I was in. And it wasn't a bad house, but my time there was up. So I woke up that day, and in my mind, I needed some extra money, you know, to pay how many months. But when I know, when the instruction comes, like, I know what to do. So I stood up and I left, and I went, and I got a house which I had needed. And, okay, long story short, or what, you know. Anyway, I managed to shift the following day, which wasn't exactly what the instruction was saying, but that night I didn't sleep there. I didn't sleep in that house again. I shifted the following day, but I still did not sleep there. Anyhow, now, then I realized that so many people who have been stuck in houses also saying they are shifting. Some of you, do you realize that? Now, do you know why the Bible says not all of you should desire to be teachers? Because teachers will have greater judgment. Now, if I decided to live a fake life, I will be judged not just for me, but for the people who are under me who I made to live a fake life. Do you understand that? Now, the other day, some people came and told us that there was a house that I've been believing God for to buy. So, and even in the believing, I had a dream when somebody was giving me the amount of money, more than the amount of money I needed. So I started praying about that dream. Then I had another dream when I was building Prophet's house, but it was my house. Then the Lord told me that when he moves and owns his own house, mine will come automatically. I don't have to struggle. It comes automatically. It is so simple. By the way, when people understand, that's why if the devil can keep the person at the head down, all of you are messed up. Now, I'll give you an example. Somebody came and said they want to give us. I think I even told Claire, they want to give us all these music instruments which we hire, including stage and all that. I said, but where are they? They said they are somewhere and they are going to send them. We'll even pay for shipment. Yeah, we'll even pay for the taxes. For you, just what? Receive. Why is that? Why is it that when Zoe gets its own machine, suddenly mine comes easy? You see, when you're under it, now, let me tell you, if you're still staying in a fake place and you claim to be under watchman, you're not under me. If Zoe gets its own machines, and we are still pangisaying 2 years later, then I did not learn how to connect. I'm lying myself. Amen? Yeah. Now, when you know how to connect, as I do, it comes like that. You don't even have to struggle. What is your father's thing comes to you automatically. Do you understand? Now, if there is a disconnect, you deal with that. Otherwise, it's supposed to be automatic. Those are things you are not supposed to even... Did I even know the person had view my in America and what? No, I didn't know. But because somehow of the connecting and what, when it happens there, it happens here. Amen? Yeah. Now, I remember when all these things happen, by the way, so that people understand that there is a leader. And what happens to that leader happens to you. So it's in your best interest to make sure that what? Everything is, you know, because after it is well with him, yours is just for say, because somebody has paved the way. Praise the Lord. Amen. So when they say, imagine all these years we've been pangisaing Vuma, because also, now when they get theirs, that's when somebody wants to give us free, without any. Do you understand? So now, if you learn how to connect, Joseph is a fruitful bow, A fruitful bow by the well. His branches. And if I go high, and you see I've gone high, and you're at the same level, there's something wrong with you. That's why the Lord told me, go leave this place now. You're holding back so many people. Get out of here now. Because if you stay there, you're holding back what? Holding back so many people. Now for you, it might just be for yourself. But for me, it's for so many people. So now, if I stay there and say, I'm comfortable here. After all, what more do I need? I have, you know. Joseph is a fruitful boy by a well. His branches run over the wall and go and do what? If you read the book of Nehemiah, you will know how the devil operates. After they have somebody has tried to fight you and you're gathering, they'll say, "Jangu tutese." Like, never believe those things. Like, never. You crush somebody, they tell you kutesa. When you start, it is for bringing somebody down. Anyway, praise the Lord. There was a man who was called Herod, who tried to think that he can take away the freedom of worship. From the Bible up to the contemporary world, from Herod, who was eaten from inside, to Gaddafi, who was the king of kings, but ended up in a bunker. Praise the Lord. Freedom of worship is given by God, and nobody can take it away. And nobody can even pretend that he wants to... He cannot. He cannot. Do you know, people don't realize. There was a friend of mine who I used to work with in the 1997, he went and he did an interview with Moses Ali. And Moses Ali told him that he is convinced if Amini had not touched the baroque, he would still be president up to that time. But he went and got so many pastors and baroque, put them in a cell, and he went to fight the Tanzanians. And these guys had no food, so they were starving, and they cried out to God. The Tanzanians were shocked at how easy it was to defeat Amin. They came after about 5 or 6 days and rescued these people and gave them food. But these men were crying for their life to their God. And Amin was just eaten up like this. They told him, there is this long range thing which can hit over. What? Then total confusion. Complete confusion. Because of the power of God. Now, Amin was a military general. By the time he went and attacked Kagera, he knew that he had what it took to defeat Tanzania. What he didn't know is that when you leave starving men in a prison and they are going to starve to death, they have only one option. They will call out to their God and their God will answer them. First of all, they are fasting by force. Eh? So even when you get people who love their food, that time is he will call upon his God. And regardless of who you are, you will come down. When a man is calling with an empty stomach, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. Go ahead. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength. Somebody said remained in strength. For how many years? Then you what? And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now, not by his own strength. You understand? Eh? This is the generation. Not by his own strength. By God making you strong. You're not strong, but he says, I'm going to make you strong. Then you become somebody who nobody knew. They thought they know you, but you come out strong. And they say, who is this guy? But the strength by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father, who will help you, and by the Almighty, who will bless you with the blessings of heaven above, the blessings of the deep that lie under, beneath, the blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestor. Praise the Lord. Now we are going to see a time which would exceed even the early fathers, exceed the acts of the apostles. And it is going to be not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Where you know Reagan, you know he's who he is, but then you look at him tomorrow and you say, this is not the Reagan I know. But this one, you look at him and say, there is something that has happened. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. By whose strength? By whose strength? Amen. Prepare for that. Prepare for this. Now just pray in tongues and let's finish this thing now. Like we did last week, just say, Lord, I am dependent on your strength. Without you, I can do nothing. You are the strength of my life. You are the strength of my life. Pray in tongues, everybody. And pray as you. Just give yourself 2 minutes to internalize this, then we'll... I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for the wonderful things that you do for your children here today. Now, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for these beautiful times where the sheep are separated from the goats. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are your children and you do mighty exploits through us. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that each and every person who is under my hearing here today shall know where they stand, shall know what they do, and they shall not look down on themselves. They shall know that it is not their power, not their might,
not their strength, but yours, O Heavenly Father, that is at work through them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. I thank you. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for each and every person who connects here this day. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for this truly great time that we are in, for the great harvest, for everything, oh Father, harvest of all things, for the time of dominion such as has not been, for this generation of Josephs who overflow, who are fruitful, whose branches spread into the world. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because this is us and we are those Josephs. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Expect nothing to go wrong. Expect nothing to go wrong. Do not, because I'm seeing, like, do not expect, this is what the Lord is saying, don't expect anything to go wrong. It is not going to go wrong.
Amen.
Don't expect that you'll be frustrated. You will not be frustrated. Do not anticipate it. Do not expect it. If you have been frustrated before, this is a different time. The time for frustration ended. Now, you will even get something bigger than you expected. In the place of frustrations, in the place of delays, in the place of those things that held you back, now you will receive acceleration. Look at how fast some of the prophecies that have been given are being fulfilled. Look at how fast the prophecies were given are being fulfilled. That is your life. Something said, it happens. Something good, it comes. It is not delayed. It is not cut in the middle. It does not stop at the doorway and you do not receive it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I had to say that for the benefit of some people. So I do not want anybody here this year to expect failure. Make no allowance for failure. Or for they promised me, then it did come to pass. If it was promised you, you are going to get it.
Amen.
There is no allowance for, there's this thing, I do not travel, I'm supposed to go somewhere and it does not happen. It is going to happen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.